Thank you, Lord. Sunday morning, 8/28/22, we're going to do a teaching. The title of this is Territorial Spirits. I'm just going to read to you here a little bit, then we'll look at some scriptures. We're going to be looking at the subject of territorial spirits, and I'll be using the references from C. Peter Wagner's book, Territorial Spirits. Haven't been moving along this line for a few weeks, but the Holy Spirit brought me to this book. He gave my attention to it. He's done that many times. He had me look up and I see something up there. Oh, I didn't know I had that. Anyway, I didn't realize I had this book. And he just said, I want you to read this book. Continue with C. Peter Wagner stuff. He wants us to know everything there is to know about this. And this man did this for 30 years. He was a horizontal apostle, which that's kind of just all over the place, doing all kinds of things. So anyway, we're going to go with the Holy Spirit. All right. Haven't been moving along this line for a few weeks, but the Holy Spirit brought this book to my attention. He wants me to continue with this. The foreword of this book is written by John Dawson with Youth with a Mission. I'll be using some points from there today as well, and stuff that the Holy Spirit's given me. All right. The key is discerning the gates of the city by binding the strong man and plundering his goods. Right? I even said on the program this morning about not boycotting. You hear Christians on social media, boycott, 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 boycott. That's the problem. We boycotted till we have no place to go now. Backed into a corner. We boycotted. Instead of running the devil out, we boycotted. Well, I ain't watching that no more. I ain't buying that no more. I ain't going there no more. Sound familiar? One other point that that young man brought that I failed to mention in the first teaching, that because of one of those executive orders that the president made, it's about Chinese communist interfering, and the executive order forbids them for stepping one toenail in our jurisdiction. That means no goods. He said, you want to know about shortages? That's why, the executive order. It's not because the white hats are doing this, not because the dark cats are doing this, it's because of that executive order. Because they did what they did with the COVID, they did what they did, put their part in the election interference, because they did what they did, they are forbidden to bring their goods. That's why all those ships that we saw for months and months and months and months off of Florida's coast, I guess on the East Coast and the West Coast, they were just lined up ships and they couldn't come in. There's the reason for the shortages, because of all the junk we always got from China. You couldn't hardly pick up anything, didn't say made in China. To me, who likes to go through shortages? Nobody. But I'll tell you what, there comes back that American-made agenda. We're going to have to be like we used to be. So when you think about that, you'll understand this is a white hat operation. Everything that young man said, the Lord spoke to me about the COVID. It's an undercover operation. They're going to go in and clean out the dumps. They're going to go in and rescue the children. They're going to take out the fruit, the bad fruit, prosecute them. This has been going on since that time. 2.5 years later, that is what they're doing. That's what they've been doing all along. They were right up front with it, basically. But that's what the Lord said, and that's what they've been doing all along. There hasn't been any variation. I don't care who says what. That is the gospel truth. That's what's going on. All right, Matthew 12. Why you want me to tell you that? I don't know, but anyway. 12:29. Talk about getting rid of territorial spirits, kicking China out of the United States. I hope they deport every one of those spies they sent in here to steal our intellectual property and everything else. They filled our universities with these young Chinese Communist. Not the Chinese people, we're talking the CCP. All right, 12:29, Matthew 12:29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? The Bible usually identifies an evil spirit by its territory or by its prime characteristics. We're going to look at just a couple of verses on that. Daniel chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Below Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So this principality or stronghold that was called the prince of Persia. All right, then Revelation 20:14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is second death. So these are spirits. Death and hell. Lovely. You might not have to have a name for a territorial spirit, but you have a sense of the type of oppression it's causing. You can go into an area and you can, you know, maybe observe, I've never seen so many bars in a place, or I've never seen so many casinos in a place. I remember Dana saying she went to Sedona, I guess it was Sedona, Arizona. She said, that's the most wicked place I've ever been to. On every corner was a fortune teller or a psychic reader, just everywhere. And they brought home that little statue and the cat started acting up. And she's never acted that way. They had ended up destroying it. Yeah, better watch what you pick up in some of these places. You might pick up more than you bargained for. All right. Paul said he struggled with beasts at Ephesus. This is 1 Corinthians 15:32. I'm thinking, what kind of beast? Healed a beast? Yeah. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Spiritual mapping is a supernatural process. We must trust God to show us what we need to do to draw our map. The Lord has had us aware. He wants us to be aware of the territorial spirits, but not preoccupied with them. We don't need to be preoccupied. There's a devil under every rock, if you know what I mean. There's an angel. There's two angels under standing by every rock. Let's just, you know what I'm saying. Complacency is the biggest problem in the church today. Most deny that they exist. Most people deny, they don't even believe in spirits or demons or anything else. They never stop to think that we as men are being influenced by spiritual beings. Yeah. Let's look at Joshua 23. Y'all there? Verse 1 there. It came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age, and Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided. See, the Lord has a way about him. He wants you to obey him and be willing to go and do what he tells you to do. And in the process, he does the fighting for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even to the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out from out of your sight, and you shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. So whenever the Lord has us mapping out territory, he will have us speak things. What is that doing? It's driving them out. We're speaking to mountains. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside there from the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow down yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back, and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, excuse me, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but that they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Yeah. Let's see where I quit here. A couple more. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls, and not one good thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you are coming to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, or permit, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and hath gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the land which he hath given unto you. Don't we see that today? We see it exactly that way today. So the Lord's saying, keep your focus. Keep your focus on how big God was, how God drove them off before you. See, God's given us this battle plan. God's given us the words to say, and he's telling us to stand and speak. All right? We must never forget that this is God's plan we're following, and we are to stay alert and aware to carry out his exact instructions. Just like he did with Joshua at Jericho, he had to have participation, though. But God did it. When they obeyed God to the letter, then God came through, and he caused the walls to fall. All right. Romans 16:19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. In other words, God does not want us glorying in the evil and our focus being on the evil, taking out this devil, taking out that devil. Our focus needs to remain on God, and He'll give us the battle plan, instructions to speak. But our focus is always to be on Him, not always say, well, it's just so bad, and everything's always so bad, and there's just all this and all that. We shouldn't get into that mode of speaking and that way of thinking, because that's not true. See, that's what the enemy would have us to think, that they're so big and bad and ugly that there's no way we'll ever win. But it's the truth. Right? In other words, we aren't so preoccupied with the evil that we forget the good. All right, Psalms 24:15, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. So these are God's secrets, His battle plans. A good military will not give out their battle plans. Even President Trump says, we will no longer tell our enemies what we're doing. And that's something that young men brought out yesterday. Yeah, always remember that God is greater than any demon or spirit we may encounter. Satan gets no credit and God gets it all. Yeah. So many people give Satan so much credit. All you ever hear is, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Is it true? Do you hear many people talking about how great God is? Or do you just hear, oh, you know, things are so bad, you know, just blah, blah, blah. Yeah. For sure and for certain, most times you hear more about the bad and what the devil is doing than you do what God is doing. You know, you want to help people, but you think, wow, so negative. Well, you never know what God will do. Yeah, you do. He'll come through. That's what He'll do. He'll do it for you. See, we've got to encourage people. They're not used to good teaching. They're just used to whatever. All right, Acts 17. Verse 26 and 27. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, hath determined the times before appointed and the bonds or the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. How are parents about their kids? Pretty watchful. And that's the way I see the Lord with us. He is overseeing everything, and don't think for a minute He is right on it. He's watching everything. He lets the devil just go so far and then He yanks his chain. Just think about it like that. When you think of the devil, look at him like a dog down on his all fours with that angel with that big chain. He's fixing to throw in the pit. It's coming. Get ready for it. We use the term warfare a lot, but what is warfare anyway? Wrestling with demons and spirits? No, this is what I think we are implementing victory. We're not just wrestling with demons and get all beat up and slink off in the corner to lick our wounds. No, we're enforcing victory. We're taking the land. We've already been assured victory. We should never go into battle thinking we can't win. You go into battle thinking, I've already won. The victory is won when the battle is the Lord's. Yeah. It's in His power and might, not in ours. Yeah. God is big on the scene, even though it may not seem so. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Genesis 11. There's a reason he sits on the circle of the earth. He's got us in this our enclosed little thing here, looking at us, observing us. 11:9. Anybody that's pushing any other agenda but what the scripture says about it, beware. Stay away from them. That's what I'm saying to you. I don't care how great they may seem to be. They're goofed up in the head. 11:9. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So the Tower of Babel, all this bad stuff was coming down, old Nimrod. He had Satan's agenda. They were planning to build that tower to heaven and overthrow God so Satan could get up there and say, I am like the Most High. Guess what happened? The Lord kicked the tower down. God is on the scene and over observing and overseeing everything. So don't think for a minute, whatever you're walking through, that he isn't right on it. He's watching. Jesus said, oh. I said, no, I got to let him do it, son. Kind of like a child walking, learning to walk. Got to let him fall if need be. So they pick themselves back up and keep on going. I think Jesus is going, oh, would I die for them, you know? Yeah, you did. All right, God is on the scene. Hebrews 12:1. We're not in this alone, even though at times it feels so. See, in our spiritual mapping, I want y'all to get a sense of God is with us in this. We're not just these little lone wolves out here trying to kick a few demons off of a few places. This isn't what this is about. God's with us. All right, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore seeing we are also, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, at right hand of the throne of God. See, he said, Put what you're going through in perspective. You are being observed by a great cloud of witnesses. I figure they're going, hit them again. Come on, hit them again. You know, talk about the devil. They're up there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Kind of like Olympic Games. Hit them again. Kick them in the ribs this time. Knock him in the head. Crush his head. Just get a picture of it. All the old movies you've watched where the leaders and the Roman gladiators and all that kind of stuff. That's the way I think it looks to them. Clash of the Titans. Yeah. It might look like a boxing match to them. They're cheering us on and yelling and encouraging us to run our race. Don't give up. You're nearly there. See, they can see it all. And they're looking from a top view down, not a bottom view up. That's where why we are seated with him in heavenly places. We have a top view, not a bottom view. All right. The Tower of Babel outcome was an act of God. He is on the scene and he has the devil on a leash. Thus far and no more. If you observe God throughout the scriptures, whenever it got to where it was just as bad as it could be, Noah had the ark. God destroyed Babel. God destroyed Egypt, brought the children of Israel out. He's doing the same thing today. MAGA. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that the devil does that God is not aware of, and he's got his Joshuas that he is raising up for this time and this hour that will follow his orders, and he will take out the enemy. He will do it by his might and power. Yeah. He'll handle the situation. Now I want to look at Judges. This is Judges chapter 6. This is the only story I'm going to read out of the Old Covenant because... Gideon, he is pretty weak. he was pretty weak. But God came through for him. If you feel weak today, well, you're in good company. Well, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Okay, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. No, he didn't deliver them. Really, that's kind of mistranslated. What happened was just exactly what Joshua told them. If they were not going to take care of the land, then they were going to end up being pricks in their eyes and thorns in their sides. That's what happened. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. I mean, they pushed them off of their land, pushed them out of their houses, took their food. See, these are those that boycott. This is boycotting bunch. They end up in living in a hole in the mountain over there. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and children of the east, even they came up against them and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, that ye have not, but ye have not obeyed my voice. You could say this was a USA right here. All you hear. Food shortages. All you hear is bad. But you need to buy your Patriot Supply. That's their answer. Give me your dollars for noodles and beans. They're crying unto the Lord. The Lord already told them. He already told them how you take care of this. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Oprah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told of us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivers into the hands of the Midianites. Yeah, it's your fault, Lord. You did it. No. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? See, this is what God's doing today. He's raising up Joshua's to go in and make it right. We have allowed all this to happen. Yeah. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. I can't do nothing. I ain't got nothing. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come back again. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah flour, and flesh he put in a basket. And he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in this ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. What's going on in our nation right now? The Guidestones went down. The Hoover Dam, I believe, is supposedly going to be the next demonic whatever coming down. All Baal's symbolism. It's all across our nation. I want the... My biggest one we were talking about is the Washington Monument, that big phallic symbol. That needs to come down. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built, and they said one to another, Who had done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing. See, they didn't have cameras like they did at the Georgia Guidestones where they could see it being exploding. But they found out he did it. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, because, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. And all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, were over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. He sent messages throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Now just look at this as these spirits that we are mapping, these territorial spirits that we're going to take out over these territories. They're just everywhere. They've taken everything. They've messed up everything. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wood in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, if he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground. Let there be dew. And God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Now, we don't do fleeces nowadays, but we need to prove. When God tells us to speak and do a certain thing, we need to prove it out. Don't just be frivolous and just spout a bunch of junk. Okay? All right, chapter 7. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all the other people go, every man into his place. So the people took bills in their hand and their trumpets, and he set all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with thy servant down to the host. Now shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Pura his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites said to the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream to his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came from unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay long. And his fellow answered and said, there's nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for unto his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in each man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, and I, all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah and Zarephath, and to the border Abel Meholah unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth-barah and Jordan. And all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and took the waters unto Beth-barah and Jordan. And they took the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. So a little band of men took out a mass army per God's instructions. You know, it may seem like we're facing so many adversaries, so many strongholds, so many things, but you know what? When we follow the voice of the Lord and we get His plan and we speak, they're out of here. They're out. We have to do that. God has put eternity in the hearts of men, and at the end of the day, God will have His way. He will. We are to be preoccupied on how great our God is, knowing He has a plan that Satan is defeated already. We must be open to hearing and allowing God to show us the strategy to take out the reigning territory spirits that are in our land. We see this in the life of David, starting with David slaying Goliath. His deal was with the Philistines. David inquired of the Lord. He'd tell him what to do. David inquired of the Lord again. God would tell him what to do. Same concept. All right. David was called of God to supernaturally take out Philistines in his generation. God has raised us up in our generation to do the same thing. This will help us not to get so weary and help us to not develop a bad attitude. We can go to battle with praise on our lips and having confidence in how great our God is. It will help us view the enemy as the defeated foe that he really is. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to read a few scriptures here. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. They're coming down. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It's not just a nice scripture, it is the truth. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. How did he do that? By giving us the name of Jesus. Satan is a defeated foe. With this attitude, the body of Christ should not concede to the enemy one square inch. We have a stewardship. Those in the Faith Hall of Fame had to stand their ground. They're in there because they stood their ground. God gave them an assignment, and God gave them the grace to rout out the enemy. It was by divine design. Just like Esther, she was born for such a time as this, just as you have been. You being here is no accident. Your birth was not an accident either. I had someone speak a word over me many years ago, and it was about how that I'd been called from my mother's womb and how Satan had tried to take me out before I was born. And then, you know, whenever I was about 5 months pregnant with Dana, we were playing miniature golf. And I stumbled and fell on my stomach. And when I hit the ground, I felt like I hit a pillow. I'd felt that before, because when you're slain in the spirit, that's the way it feels. I wasn't harmed. She wasn't harmed. You think that kid's not called for a purpose? See, this is the way God does things. He preserves things. Yeah. Same way with y'all. Same way with everyone that's called. Everyone needs to take heed to this. Satan is a murderer. Think how many of their have been slain from their mother's womb. I don't even know the number. It's shameful. Talk about a territorial spirit, the spirit of murder. Every abortion clinic. When I was about, okay, I already read that to you. I am thankful for God's preservation working in our lives to fulfill the call on our lives. See, the people of Faith Hall of Fame didn't just get in there just because it was, you know, sounded good. It was because they took a stand, every one of them. I'm sure Moses, Joseph, and many others didn't understand at the time of the trial that they were going through, but at the end of it, they knew they had accomplished great things for God. See, they didn't understand all of it, but they knew it was part of God's plan. What they went through, what they stood for. Satan can't stop it, so stop going there in your minds. This is the time to rejoice, you know, on the right side of the river. Praise propelled a lot of the saints in the Old and New Testament alike. And praise will keep you from developing that bad attitude and keeping you from saying what is counterproductive. It's kind of like Paul and Silas, the song we sang. Because they cast out that territorial spirit over that slave girl, their money maker, they got thrown in jail. Their backs were beaten and bleeding, but they did no complaining. They sang praises to God, and then what happened? An angel rescued them out of the jail. It's victory all the way. Didn't mean they didn't go through a little pain in the process, but it came out right on the end. So when you keep that perspective as you begin to map and as you begin to speak to territorial spirits as God leads you, always remember, go into it knowing you're the winner, that God is on your side. God has said you have been assured victory. God has the plan. You execute the plan, and you'll see the victory. You'll see the results. Just like Gideon. Just like Paul and Silas. Okay.